Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
today, on this 42nd anniversary of the horrible Roe v. Wade decision, the whole church in the United States, together with many of our brothers and sisters who defend life, come together to pray and to witness. And we begin this day coming at the call of the Lord to be with him, to be strengthened by him, just like he strengthened the 12 whose names we just heard in the gospel, so that he might be able to send us out together with him to transform the culture. And in this year of mercy, which is meant to influence everything the church does throughout this year and impact how we live out as Catholics our day-to-day life, this year of mercy has to have a particular influence on the way we look, what we mark today. Mercy. We prayed in the responsorial psalm today, have mercy on me, God, have mercy, that we recognize our need for that forgiveness of the Lord. And the more we receive it, the richer we become, so that we can become apostles of that mercy, sent out with that mercy to be able to bring it to a culture that needs this mercy most. As we prayed in the Alleluia verse today, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And so that work that Christ continues to do in us, and that entrustment of that great message of mercy for the entire world, that God wishes to bring everybody back into communion, is what he wants us to bring to others. Let's look at mercy within the context of these readings. We see in the first book of Samuel today that David could have killed Saul, who had taken 3,000 men to hunt him down to kill him, solely out of envy. Yesterday, as we heard, the women had come on out after David had defeated Goliath and were singing, Saul has killed his thousands. What an incredible compliment. Saul should have been thrilled. His parents obviously would have been thrilled at his valor on the battlefield. But because they added in David his 10,000, the victory against the Philistines was actually a loss for him. He was eaten alive. He couldn't stand it. And then he tried on multiple occasions to plot David's murder. Yesterday, Jonathan talked him out about it. Today, David talked him out about it. But he would still continue to fall. And later, he would try to hunt David down again. And David would go, and he would actually have his chance when he was sleeping. But he wouldn't lay his hand on the Lord's anointed. And that whole thought of David, given by God, is so important for us as we approach what we mark today. Not to lay our hand, not to wish any harm whatsoever on the one that the Lord has anointed, the Lord has chosen. And this is one of the messages we need to bring to our culture and we need to bring to our prayer. Let's break it down in three categories. First, mercy for the children whose lives are threatened through the practice of abortion. How important it is in having mercy for them that we do all that we can to try to save their lives. Second, it's mercy toward those who are tempted toward abortion and who have had it, how much they need to be reconciled to God, and how much we need to be the advertisers that that's possible. So often, too many in our culture treat those who have sinned in any way with big scarlet letters, which is one of the reasons why people are shocked when things happen, like Pope Francis is giving all the priests in the world, with priests in the United States have had for decades, the ability to absolve the censure of abortion so that they can absolve the sin of abortion. When Pope Francis announced that, many of the priests in the United States, including here in New York, started to get people coming, thinking that for the first time their sins against life could be forgiven. They just hadn't heard the message. Because so often they hear a message not with a heart beating with merciful love, but with a wagging finger. I mean, even just a couple weeks ago, this whole disgusting series of David Dalyden videos with regard to how Planned Parenthood after abortion tries to continue to profit off the severed body parts of children. Operation Rescue, which is a group that's been courageous in certain areas, gives out a Veritas Award to Deborah Nucatola, the woman who was talking about how much it would cost while she was sipping Chianti in a restaurant and these undercover things, thinking that that type of sarcasm is actually going to advance the movement. That let's give Deborah Nucatola a Veritas Award because she unintentionally told the truth about abortion. It's just not the way to go about. It's not the way of love. It's the way of mockery, which is not really consistent with what the Lord is asking. Our culture, especially those who have the self-inflicted wounds and have wounded even their own flesh and blood, need to recognize that they don't have to spend the rest of their life like Lady Macbeth, trying to wash the guilt off their hands, knowing that there's no detergent powerful enough on earth to do it. The only thing that is strong enough is God's merciful love, and it's there for them. That they've got to recognize that we, when we see them, see God's anointed. We don't want to harm them. We want to love them. And when they start to see that, it makes it easier for them to come and receive that reconciling message and ministry that God has sent us out to the world to give, to save it. Third object of mercy is all those who are involved in the abortion industry, all those who support it in culture and in the media, the politicians and judges who permit it or advance it or protect the invented right to choose to take somebody else's life, all those who have assisted others to have abortions in any way, encourage them to do it, that toward the same culture we must bring that message of mercy. And that message of mercy leads to conversion, but the repentance happens after mercy. God's mercy isn't conditioned on somebody's repentance. Their reception of his mercy is conditioned on their openness. But it's not that God gives it. So the first attitude of the church has to be one of mercy for this entire culture. That even though they've made themselves in some cases the enemy of the least, the most vulnerable, the smallest of our brothers and sisters, we're not going to treat them as our enemies, but as Jesus calls us to in the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to love them and pray for them. Mercy in each of these areas. Throughout this year of mercy, as we learn from the Lord how to be merciful like him, I will be preaching a lot on the five ways Jesus shows us in the gospel that he is merciful. The five times where the evangelist used that term, splachnitzomai, which means he was sick to his stomach with pity, with mercy on the crowds. And in response, Jesus, out of mercy, did five things. These are five ways that we in the church need to bring mercy to the culture that needs it most. first thing Jesus did when he was sick to his stomach with compassion in the crowd, look like sheep without a shepherd, is he taught them. And how much our culture needs this teaching. And the teaching always changes. When I was in college, the real teaching was about the humanity of children growing in the womb. We've won that battle. Where we've really gotten to the point is the Nietzschean will of power, even acknowledging that it's a human being growing within, even acknowledging that it's flesh and blood, some people think that we should still have the power unilaterally to end the life. We've got to educate on that point too. But the educational side, the patient teaching of the truth, is one of the great gifts of mercy that we need to bring to a world in order to reconcile it. Because the abortion industry is based on lies, all coming from the very intelligent father of lies. Second thing Jesus did is Jesus healed. And how much healing is needed? So much healing of our culture. So much healing that comes as a direct result of the pains that we've inflicted to others and inflicted to ourselves. That's tough work, but it is work that the Lord will strengthen us to do for each of these three, well, two of the three audiences. The third thing that Jesus did was to feed. We need to take care of people who literally have material hungers, but also spiritual hungers. When we see that and we provide these means by which we love them, they can open themselves up to greater and greater food that comes from the Lord so that they might be strengthened to make the choices for life that God wants them to make. Fourth thing that Jesus did was he forgave. We see throughout the Gospels the faces of those he forgave. The woman caught in adultery. Peter, the good thief, the woman in Simon the Pharisee's house who washed and dried his feet with her tears, and here, the Samaritan woman at the well, the paralytic. Jesus was constantly forgiving out of compassion, and this mercy is his great gift to the world. We need to be like friends of the paralyzed man, taking people to receive this gift. And the fifth and last thing Jesus did is the least conspicuous. It says that he looked at the crowds who were mangled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. And therefore, he said, pray to the harvest master for laborers for his harvest. And then immediately thereafter, we see in St. Matthew's Gospel, from those who were praying to the harvest master for laborers for the harvest, he chose those laborers. And they're the very names we have in today's Gospel from Mark, Peter and Andrew, James and John and the other apostles. One of the huge aspects of the mercy of the Lord is constantly praying for laborers and then opening ourselves up to the fact that the Lord's asking us to be those hard-working men and women in his fields. The reason why we're here, that you've got vocations to be sisters of life, that I have a vocation to be a priest, it's because for the last 2,000 years, people have been praying to the harvest master for laborers for his harvest. And the Lord has called us to be with him and to be sent on out to bring in that harvest, which is the reconciliation of the world. We continuously do need to pray for those hard workers alongside of us. How much more we need in those fields, because the enemy is constantly sowing his weeds. And if we had more workers, for example, who have succumbed to the temptations of the evil one and are able to speak with credibility of what's out there, the more we have sisters of life, the more we have priests who have the compassion and the courage to be able to live this message and to be creative in addressing the various symptoms that lead to the culture of abortion, the fewer abortions we're going to have, and the more we'll be blessed with the gift of life. In this year of mercy, as we mark this day, praying to the Lord in gratitude for the gift of life He's given us, for the gift of life He has given others, and asking for the protection and the recognition of the anointed nature of the dignity of everyone we seek to serve, we ask the Lord, who has brought us here so that He might be with us, not just on the outside, but in the inside through Holy Communion, to strengthen us to carry out this mission of mercy, shown through teaching, feeding, healing, forgiving, praying, and calling, so that the life He came to bring into the world we might experience in abundance. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy.